Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. If you're a small business owner or want to be, I think you'll find out some good stuff there. At least, especially, and don't listen to me. Listen to the people that who I hear from, and listen to what they say. And they say they like it. So I'll let them be my spokesperson. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's excited to be here. She doesn't know what to do. Right, Joan?
Absolutely. Whatever you say.
Hey, Joan, you know what what yesterday was?
No.
Yesterday was the Great Grump Out Day, the Great American Grump Out Day.
No wonder I was having such a good time.
That means you had to go 24 hours without being grumpy or crabby.
No, I thought that means you could be grumpy and crabby all the time.
No. That's the way you would think it would be. But yeah. How'd you do yesterday, by the way, in the Great American Grump Out Day?
Well, see, you should have let me know.
Well, how would that have changed?
I didn't know.
How would that have changed anything with you, though, John?
Yeah, not one bit.
Well, is the stock market something we should be grumpy about, Joan?
Well, not really. You know, I think we're using the old Betty Davis line, it's going to be a bumpy ride, but yeah. We still are optimistic about how things are going to turn out by the end of the year.
So the stock market, according to Kiplinger, I'm reading here, it says the stock market will end up, will end the year up in the neighborhood of a 5% gain.
Now, which is not as much as last year.
But now that's for the S&P. We need to make sure that we qualify. That is for the,
yes,
Standard and Poor's index.
Yes.
Okay. Which is a different index from the Dow Jones or the Nasdaq.
Standard and Poor's is a broader, because the Dow is just a small basket of stocks.
About 30. Yeah. And
yeah.
How many is in the S&P? About 5,000 or?
I was gonna hundreds or thousands.
It's a lot. I've forgotten how many, but there's a whole lot. So it's a much broader index. But we were up higher. The S&P was higher than 5% last year.
I think the S&P ended the year up, I want to say high single digits, 9%.
Yeah.
I thought.
Well, of course, and I when my prediction earlier in the year, I didn't use the S&P, I used the Dow, but I predicted the Dow would go above, that we would break the record of 11,722, I think is the record that was set in, I think, 99. Mm-hmm. I said we would break that record, Joan. You're going to have to do more than 5% to break that record.
Sorry. Well, we'll do our best for you.
Why are you so optimistic about the market? What are the fundamentals that you guys are seeing out there?
Well, the fundamentals are strong, and it's interesting because I think there have been a couple of indicators in the last couple of days that show kind of a softening economy, particularly with housing.
Yeah.
But we say that businesses are showing solid earnings. And so that, you know, any fears of oil prices and other things putting a drag on the economy are probably overblown. And we don't think, you know, interest rates are going to go sky high. So that's another point to keep in mind.
The larger companies are posting profits, very good profits. Smaller companies aren't posting anything because they're posting them. They're just not telling anybody about it because that's what we do. We don't talk to people about how well we do. In fact, sometimes we usually poor mouth it ourselves. Somebody says, "How are things going?" Oh, well, you know, not so good. When really maybe they're doing pretty good. That's the difference between big companies and little companies. But in terms of the larger companies, our big customers, folks who are out there, Joan, they're profitable and they're awash in cash too, aren't they?
They sure are. That's an important point.
Yeah, there's a lot of cash out there, a lot of profit, and so that's good news. And that's really good news, even if there is a little bit of a flattening out of the economy, Joan, because that means we're going to be able to weather that a little bit better without any kind of a, you know, without having to lay off a bunch of people or you know, maybe even stop our spending.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, because most of the big companies have they already know pretty much how much money they're going to spend through this fiscal year, don't they?
Well, and that's the other thing, because they're big and they're public, they have to be, you know, letting people know what's going on with them. So that's why we know their plans.
Right, right. But there are a couple of things that are putting people on edge. One is interest rates, and I don't understand that, because there's nothing that the Fed's going to do in the next 2 years, in my opinion, that anybody should get all excited about interest rates. But there is one other thing that's getting everybody's attention and with great justification, and that's oil prices, Joan.
Energy, boy, that's huge.
Well,
and there's no end in sight to high oil prices, I'm afraid.
It's official. We just went over in terms of dollar amount, not in terms of GDP percent of income or anything like that, not in historical terms adjusted for inflation, but in terms of just pure price point, we just went over the historic record, didn't we?
I think that's true, yes, right.
Was it $2? I forgot. It was over $2, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we're definitely getting $2 in my area, and I guess that's now the national average.
I paid over $2 the other day, two and a nickel for medium grade, you know, the 89 octane.
Oh, we're up there.
And so that, I tell you what, that took my breath away, Joan.
Yeah.
That last tank full, you know, took my breath away, and it was a shock. And you know, if you think about it, Joan, look at all the small businesses out there. I mean, I'm not going to worry about the big guys. They can take care of themselves. But look at all the small businesses who have salespeople on the road. They have trucks on the road delivering products, delivering goods. And they didn't budget for last September, when they were putting together their 2004 fiscal or calendar budget for their calendar year, they didn't budget $2 gas.
Or maybe they're a business that ships a lot of goods and their shipping rates are going up.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's really cutting into the profitability. And Joan, as we have said in the past, the last week or two, I hate to have to say this. I hate to say this again, but I think it bears repeating, folks. Get your budget out and dust it off and make some adjustments, because, Joan, I don't see any end in sight to the $2 a gallon gasoline. I mean, it may come off a little bit, but not much. What do you think?
No, we don't see it either, really. And you might be hoping for some relief at the end of the summer, but I don't think you're going to get a whole lot.
In the past, we've been able to say that we've looked inside our borders to, you know, to trends, the summer traffic, vacation traffic, the gasoline prices go up. And we've said, okay, you know, you're going to have high prices in the summer. It'll come back down. But now the influences are more global, as are many things. And so, and we'll talk about this and some more things right after these messages with our good friend Joan Pride. Stay with us. It's 20 after. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors there in Washington, D.C., and they've got some outstanding publications that we're going to tell you about in just a little bit. But first, I'll just mention that the one we work from on a weekly basis is the weekly flagship letter, the Kiplinger Letter, which has been around since 23, as in 1923. So not too many other publications can match up to that. Joan, we were talking about earnings, and back to the S&P thing. You guys pointed out that the S&P earnings growth will average 16% or so this year. That's pretty darn good.
Yes.
Any double-digit growth in earnings. And they were already doing pretty good. Last year wasn't a bad year for earnings for a lot of them, was it?
Yeah, but now they got pricing power, and that's very important.
That's it. And, of course, pricing power also contributes to – you can't have pricing power without a little bit of inflation.
Oh, come on, Mr. Glass, half empty.
Well, but, you know, it's one of those things. We've got to
You're finding the cloud and the silver lining here.
I know. But listen, I'm not complaining because, you know, a lot of these people, small businesses and big businesses, needed a little pricing power.
Well, little bit of inflation is better than a lot of deflation,
no
I guess.
No kidding. We can actually – I think we had a little room, a little capacity for – for a little inflation, Joan.
And oh, sure.
The good news is if big businesses can have a little pricing power, that naturally means that small businesses can have a little bit too, and we need it. And I hope small business owners out there are recognizing what's going on and that they're taking opportunities to raise their prices when they can, a few percentage points at a time, because it's the time to do it. We've gone through 3 years when we couldn't raise prices, and now's the time to be taking advantage of that. So look at your prices, folks, and see if you aren't in a position to be able to do that. Joan, what about, speaking of prices, what about stocks? Are they overpriced right now? A lot of people are saying that they are.
Well, we say no. You know how we are, the contrarians.
Yeah.
We admit that they're more expensive than last year, and we say that they're 18 times estimated 2004 earnings. That's the price-earnings ratio.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still saying that that's less than year 2000, so you got to keep it in perspective.
The long-term average you guys report this week is about 15 times earnings.
Right.
But you can't really go, when you say, yeah, but we're below the 2000 record of 29 times earnings, you got to throw that one out, don't you, Joan?
Well, that was such a crazy year. That was sort of the peak just before the fall.
It was a crazy
time.
The
telecom craze.
It wasn't just a crazy year. I mean, that was nutso.
Yeah, that was the very end of the telecom craze.
Yeah, the dot-bomb era.
Dot-bomb, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, I'm not a stock expert, but I know 15. I like this number that you published this year, though, about what the long-term average is. It's 15 times earnings. I think that's a good indicator there.
And we're above that right now, so that's good.
Right. What about the bargains? Are there any opportunities we can pick up out there, Joan?
Okay, number one, it shouldn't be a surprise, healthcare.
Yeah.
But we also say basic consumer goods firms. And those are kind of steady, stable firms that kind of stick with you through thick and thin.
I'm surprised to see you say General Motors. It may be a bargain.
Well, you know us contrarians.
Yeah.
But I guess
that surprised me a little bit that you would know that. And you also mentioned... Now, when you say consumer goods, why would you think consumer goods? Is that because the consumers are still out there spending money?
Right, and that these firms sort of are stable through good times and bad because the consumer has been pretty stable in terms of their buying power.
Also, you like companies like Caterpillar and DuPont and Dow Chemicals.
We also like Carnival, the cruise ship line.
Where'd that come from? I saw that.
I love that.
Do you think now's a good time for a cruise, Joan?
Well, I know. What's interesting is prices have been pretty low because capacity has been awfully high.
Yeah.
So I think they're figuring demand is going to pick up, and with that, earnings will pick up too.
But small stocks, the little guys, are you talking NASDAQ here? You say that when it comes to equities, the small stocks are at the end of a 5-year rally.
Yeah, I wouldn't go overboard in buying small stocks.
What is it? Can you give me an example of what a small stock would be? I don't mean necessarily a company, but are you talking about some of the NASDAQ companies?
Well, I don't think NASDAQ necessarily is small because companies like Microsoft are on the NASDAQ.
Right. Of course, they're also on the New York, but the Dow Jones. But don't you typically think of NASDAQ as the small cap? World, small capitalization.
I guess maybe I'm wrong. I don't. I guess I think of it more as technology stocks.
Yeah, okay.
They have more of the sexy stocks than the old New York Stock Exchange.
What about are you guys reporting that the oil and terrorism issues that are kind of the going on right now, is that having the oil prices and terrorism, is that having a little bit of a dampening effect on the value of stocks right now?
Well, not at the moment. We're saying it's always out there and could have an effect, but it's not enough to really stop people from moving ahead.
Yeah, but you know, the Dow Jones has been on a roller coaster lately, up 100, down 100. That's weird. I don't know how you keep up with all that. 29 after. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come after these messages with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. I love it when that plays when Joan Pride's here. Right, Joan? That's your favorite one,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, Joan Pride, folks. And we did that one just for you, Joan. We knew you'd like that one. And the one I think you maybe like more than that is the one where we talk about me being a god. You like that part, right, don't you?
Oh, I love it.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, I was thinking about you this week. Because you know, yeah, when I gassed up my car, and my tank holds about 20 gallons of gas, and I got a little bit of sticker shock when I put that gas in there, and I thought, poor Joan, she has a limousine and a Hummer, and a private airplane, and so a jet, a three-engine jet, and so I'm thinking, bless her heart, this has got to be killing her right now.
Well, it's a good thing my salary from this show is high enough to cover those expenses.
With $1 million salary, you can handle things like that, can't you?
Right. Exactly.
Or is that just your bonus, Joan?
Oh, really? That's a great bonus.
But what is OPEC going to do? What do they promise to do about all this, Joan? Do we need more? Is the problem that we're not getting enough crude out of the ground, or is the problem that we don't have enough capacity to manufacture the products that we need? What is it?
Well, we say OPEC is already exceeding quotas by 2 million barrels a day. So it doesn't seem to be that OPEC isn't willing to deliver enough oil. And in fact, I just read in the Wall Street Journal today that the oil-producing countries don't really want to keep oil price too high because it hurts them in the end, because then we just cut back demand and look for alternative sources, and then they don't. Then demand drops, and that's
the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. said they are trying to target a $22 to $28 a barrel.
Right, I mean, they're doing a really bad job of that, but they really are concerned. You would think that all they would want would be the price to go higher and higher and higher, but they just shoot themselves in the foot when it gets beyond a certain point.
Yeah, everything has a point of diminishing return, doesn't it? That we have, you know.
Oh, sure.
And eventually,
yeah.
if everybody has to spend $50 every time they tank up their car, then people are going to start saying, maybe I should look into this electric car, or maybe I should start riding a bicycle or taking public transportation. It's going to affect the way people behave, isn't it?
Right.
And so the Saudis have agreed recently to crank up the oil a little bit, but only a million barrels a day.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, but the thing is you guys make an outstanding point here when you say that OPEC's already pumping over what their quota is. So it's a demand problem, isn't it? It's a demand and a production problem. And I say production, I'm talking about the products that we use. You and I don't use crude. We use plastics and gasoline.
Right, well, exactly. But there's also, I guess, some back and forth over whether we should be using oil from the strategic reserve to bring down the price.
Right, and I'm with the president on this one. I don't think with all the other things going on right now, I don't think we need to be diminishing. And even that's only going to change. It's going to affect the value. It affect the price of gasoline. You know, maybe a few cents. Joan,
and maybe only temporarily.
Exactly. And it could put us into a long-term a bind on the reserves. But Joan, isn't the real issue what we're going to do? I mean, we're going to one day, Joan. Maybe not in mine and your lifetime, but one day we're going to run out of petroleum. We're going to run out.
I'm a lot younger than you are, so
I know
it could be my lifetime. Yeah.
It could be in your lifetime, right? I'm glad we cleared that up. But Joan, fossil fuels are not a renewable energy source. I mean, we're running out of that stuff every day and at the million barrels a day. And so, you know, at what point in time are we going to get serious about this? I sound like a Naderite, don't I? I sound like a Green Party member here.
I'm in shock. Yeah.
You're worried about this. But seriously, we've got to do something, don't we?
Oh, no question about it. Sure, we do.
And the question is when, isn't it?
Well, yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well, but, you know, over the last few years, we haven't really moved in the right direction. We've been driving more and more SUVs, more and more gas guzzlers.
Bigger ones.
We've gone in the wrong direction, haven't we, in a
lot
of ways.
Although I have noticed there was another article in the journal today saying the SUV makers in the U.S. are having to offer more incentives to get people to buy their vehicles. So maybe the demand is beginning to wane just a little bit.
They were already doing quite a few concessions there. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. When we get back, Joan's going to talk to us about what are the chances that healthcare is going to be changing in political terms over the next few months. And we're going to do that right after these messages. Stay with us. Back at 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And I mentioned earlier that the Kiplinger Letter is their flagship letter. That's the weekly publication that comes out by email or in print. I get it both ways. And that one's been out, they're in their 81st year of publishing that letter. And then they have three biweekly letters, which includes the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter. And then they got a magazine. Joan, tell us about that magazine.
That's right. It used to be called Changing Times a long time ago, but now it's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And not only can you get that at their website, you can order it at their website, subscribe, but you can also find it at newsstands. Joan, give us the website is kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R, but give us the phone number, too.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And there is a 30-day free trial waiting on you there when you get there. So check that out when you get a chance. And also, when you call the number, be sure to mention my name, and maybe they won't hang up on you and ask them for that 30-day free trial. Joan, let's talk about the trade things that are going there. There's a lot more emphasis on trade, on getting the trade deals, the trade talks going again. There are a lot of trade deals around the globe. United States is not part of most of them.
Well, that's true. That we are not.
Hasn't there been some controversy? Some of the Democrats have been complaining. Have you heard that they've been complaining that some of the trade deals have been giveaways? Have you heard any of that noise?
No, I haven't. But they complain a lot, so I'm not surprised.
What about tariffs? Are we going to be able to get tariffs off of some of the agriculture and manufactured goods in some of these trade talks?
Nope. We're saying forget ending all tariffs.
Not happening.
Which is what we want, but. And this has been going on. You know, we've been negotiating on this at the WTO for years, at least since 2001.
Well, see, that backs up what I was just saying, because if you've got a trade deal with the country, that means you take the tariffs off.
I would think so.
It is. That's exactly. That's by definition. A trade deal means that we're taking the tariffs off. And so if we aren't getting rid of the tariffs, that means we're not making a lot of progress. And there are something like 100, I think there's something like 110 or 20 trade deals around the globe that are out there, and I think we're party to less than 10 of those.
Gee.
And of course, you know what they want, what the argument is the trade deal means that when an administration official negotiates a deal with a country, that country can believe that whatever that person says is what will be done. And when there's not a trade deal that they can work with, that means that whatever that person negotiates, they've got to then come back and get Congress's approval.
I see. Yes, that's right.
And that's
which is the big deal in an election year.
Well, yeah, but no other country wants to take that long to cut a deal and to negotiate a deal with an administration official, and then to come back and say, "Oh, now I got to negotiate with Congress."
Yeah.
With your Congress?
Can you blame them?
No, I can't blame them at all. And that's the problem we've got. Joan, let's move on down and talk about health care. What's the news there?
Okay. Let's see. Well, we're saying that you're going to hear a lot of talk during the campaign season about health care, but don't expect any major legislation. You know, you had the big Medicare prescription drug bill last year, but you're not going to see anything like that this year.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Carey, I saw something the other day that he's trying to – have you heard his health care plan?
I have, and I don't remember it very well.
Yeah, it's something about that he wants to cover, you know, a certain amount of the medical expenses that the government can handle a certain amount of government expenses. It sounded like universal health care light is what it sounded like to me.
Could be.
I don't think that's going to fly.
I don't know.
He's touting here. Well, in fact, it says here. Let's see. Oh, here it is, Joan. I see where it is now. He wants to combine tax credits to cover 50% of premiums with a system under which the federal government would pay 75% of medical bills over $50,000. In other words,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, in other words, it's like the government is going to be our catastrophic insurance coverage.
Well, but they would be catastrophic. I do remember that his plan does include relief for small businesses, though.
But his relief is going to come from the government, not from the market.
Well, I've seen some of the relief I know is tax credits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anything that is not market based, you know, whether it's Republican or Democrat, I'm against.
But you're not against tax credits.
Not tax credits, but anything that says the government, what I'm reading here says the federal government would pay up to 75% of medical bills over $50,000. That's universal. That's universal health care light.
Right, and it's also combined with tax credits to cover 50% of premiums.
Right. Well,
so that part you like.
But I don't like the other. And so we ought to have.
No, there's just no pleasing.
Just
you.
Give us larger tax credits. Yeah. That's what we should get. What about import drugs? Are we going to get those?
We say here we will. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think this is one of those election year issues that the Congress doesn't want to ignore.
Yeah.
Because it could alienate a lot of voters.
Joan, here's an interesting thing that you guys report: more men see cosmetic surgery as a career as a key to career advancement. What do you think, Joan? You shouldn't think I should have a nipper and a tuck, maybe?
You go right ahead.
Don't you think I might need a little tummy tuck, Joan. I don't know.
Sure. And you can afford
That's
it.
That's a visual you didn't need, right, Joan? Tin Till, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Back at 7 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, anything that we haven't, anything that we wanted to cover that we, you want to talk about the Republicans and the health care? Was that you want to talk about their plans?
Health care? No, I wanted to talk about how they're becoming much more assertive with the president.
Oh, that part.
Yeah, that part.
What's up with that? Tell us about it.
Well, they're becoming much more assertive with the president.
What are they doing?
They don't want to be. They say they were left in the dark about the problems in Iraq after the war was over, and they're kind of asserting themselves because they have their own agenda, and they don't want to be seen as rubber stamping whatever the administration does.
Hmm. Well, I have heard a few Republicans. What's the guy? I just lost his name. One guy who's been pretty outspoken. He's a former Vietnam veteran, a senator. You know who I'm talking about?
I think so, but the
I've
name
lost
isn't
his name. I'll think of it in a minute. Yeah. He's a very prominent guy. Anyway, but now the interesting thing to me, Joan, is that when one of the things that Republicans do when they disagree with their president, they say that they disagree with their president. But when the Democrats disagree with their president, they're not as likely to do that. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't.
I bet you haven't. But anyway.
That's not very nice. No, I heard them disagreeing with their president all over the place.
You did?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe
look at welfare reform. That's
maybe
a good
I
example.
Misunderstood. Maybe I've been watching too much Fox, Joan. What do you
there
think?
There you go.
Reading the Washington Times too much.
But don't you think welfare reform is a good example?
Well, probably, yeah. That's probably one. Okay, you got one example. You came up with one example. Joan, let's move over and talk about HR. One of the things that you guys reported, and I think this is something small business owners are going to be happy about, faster, cheaper, more accurate, and less invasive drug tests. What's that about?
Well, it's much easier to just, it says here, you know, get a dab of saliva or a snip of hair than to send someone to a facility where they have to do whatever they have to do to get the sample.
Right.
And it's more time-consuming. It's probably more costly. And so this is going to be much easier and, as we also say, less invasive, which I think is pretty important for the employee, too.
So I can just see a lady letting us walk up and clip up and knock a snip of hair off of her head. And
or
grab our cheek, grab our little apple cheeks and do the Saddam Hussein routine.
Well,
that we've all seen. So
I
mean, what could be less invasive about cutting a piece of my hair off? That's pretty invasive.
Well, if you think of the alternative, it is less invasive
as opposed to a urine test, which I was going to get rid of anyway. So I don't know about this, but maybe it'll be more accurate and more and faster and cheaper. Maybe it'll be those three, and not necessarily less invasive. But either way, this is an issue that small businesses have to deal with, Joan. Especially those guys, especially those folks who have truck drivers, people who drive vehicles. And I've got friends and have had clients in the years past. That, you know, every so often they have to just meet a guy in the hall and stick a cup in his hand and say, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I need a test. And, you know, do the random thing. So anything that would help small business owners to accomplish that, I guess what you could do is you could walk up in the lunchroom and just walk up behind him and just kind of snip a little piece of hair off. I don't know about that, Joan. The hair thing, that doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, Joan, let's talk just a little bit about Iraq before we go. We got about a minute, less than a minute left. One of the things that troubled me in your newsletter this week, in your Kiplinger letter, I should say, is that you guys are predicting that Italy will be pulling out its troops out of Iraq by the end of the summer.
And they won't be the only ones either, unfortunately.
Yeah. Maybe Poland and maybe Australia. Yeah. And that'll be unfortunate. Even though those are not big forces over there, that'll be unfortunate because we need their symbolic presence, if not the presence of their troops, don't we?
Right. We need more, not fewer. So we're going in the wrong direction in terms of countries.
Yeah, you guys are reporting that. I had not heard this. Obviously, we know that the Spanish cut and run, and a couple of the others did, but it'll be interesting. Joan, the next 60 days in Iraq will be historic, won't it?
Well, yes, because you're coming up to that big June 30th deadline for turning over the government.
Yep. You don't want to miss the news in the next 60 days,
no.
Folks. Who knows what's going to happen. Thanks, Joan, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you,
and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world on our behalf. God bless you. God be with you. We are proud of you. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.